ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, college football fans across the nation and around the world. This is Tim May with the Tim May Show, starring Matt Wilhelm. I'm just kind of hanging on over here by my fingernails, hoping to keep up with the great Matt Wilhelm as we break down all things about Ohio State football in particular, college football in general. But Matt, here's Ohio State coming off its biggest win of the season thus far, a win it had to have, you do believe, to maintain its goal of getting to Indianapolis and playing first for the Big Ten championship, something it didn't do the past three seasons. But how do the Buckeyes keep their feet on the ground, Matt, or should they this week as they head into a game at home with prohibitive underdog Purdue? How do you keep your feet on the ground?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. As always, this is great fun to talk about something we're both so passionate about and knowledgeable about, which is Buckeye football. But I think, like, even coming out of Oregon, if you recall, and I know we had the open date, and I'm not saying that a Purdue football team coming to Columbus is the equivalent to an open date, but you know, you spend a day or two kind of like breaking down and figuring out, you know, what went wrong, the whys, what could we have done better, what could we have accentuated in a situation like that on the road at Oregon. And then you flip the switch. That switch obviously flipped to a little bit of rest, and maybe more about like fix ourselves stuff, not necessarily Nebraska coming out of that open date. And now in this case, I think from a leadership standpoint, the senior laden football team, Coach Day and the staff have been together for some years now. They're going to celebrate it. They probably celebrated it, you know, it being a noon game, the remainder of Saturday that carried over into Sunday. But then by then, you know, today is, you know, Players Day off, where they go back to class, where they're going to go over and get some treatment. They're going to go hot tub, cold tub. They're going to probably start watching some Purdue tape. And at that point, you know, you're not really going to be around a lot of people that are still continuing to pat you on the back about what you accomplished on Saturday. It's because, you know, again, the coaches, the training staff, they're like, that was yesterday. Let's, you know, turn the page. Just like a loss, you turn the page. You turn the page on a win because the season is not over. And you do have an opponent coming to Columbus. I do think for Ohio State, who early in the season against some, not so powerhouse opponents, did get off to some slow starts. So that's the one thing that catches my eye is, A, coming off this big win, how you transition, you know, and get back to work on Purdue, it being a noon game. So that means wake up, kick off, like you got to be ready to roll early in the day. And for this football team, as talented as we are, number three team in the country, against an opponent, to your point about being a 30-point plus favorite against, jump on them early. Give them no hope. Do what the nation, I would expect, or expects you to do to Purdue. And I think the gift in this case is, and again, I'm not saying Purdue is an open date by any means. It allows you to, from a coaching standpoint, to kind of strategically, if the game is in hand, get Will Howard out, you know, get, you know, Junkins and Henderson out, get Jeremiah, you know, and then you get to dig. And again, kind of like what we did against Akron, against Western, maybe in the second half against Marshall, you get in some of those guys that you want to see play more real football, not just practice football. And I think that opportunity could exist, and it allows you to stay healthy through this football season because it is such a long season now.
All right. I tried to stay on the straight and narrow here, in the sense of I wanted us to talk about what's coming, not what just happened, right? But I will say this. You're down 10-0 on the road at Happy Valley, and those people were happy.
Yes, they were.
The quick pick six was unbelievable. And you're kind of going, boy, is this going to be Iowa 2017 or whatever all over again when JT Barrett first pass out of the gate, throws a pick six, and then it went downhill from there? Or is this going to be one of those great moments in Ohio State football history when they come from behind 10 down on the road and win the game? Well, it ended up being the latter. And like I was talking to you a second ago, how do you keep your feet on the ground? But how do you not feel really good about yourself? Take me into the locker room.
Sure.
From being on a team that has a huge victory on the road Quiet's one of the more raucous crowds, except for the several thousand Ohio State fans were there. Quiet's one of the more raucous crowds in college football. How do you not feel really just good about yourself?
You know, you're absolutely right, Tim. And I think, you know, what this victory, both for Ryan Day and for, you know, I'll call it, say, like this Ohio State football team, which is a lot like last year's Ohio State football team because of all the guys returning. There was a question of toughness
Yeah.
about this program led by Ryan Day, about Ryan Day as the leader, about these players at Ohio State. The rumors of the country club-esque atmosphere and you know, discussions about practice not being all that hard, although they're both, you know, highly competitive because you've got, you know, elite level players competing against each other, they're just not that hard, they're not that tough. And so that's one thing. I think you know, you've answered that question because of how, to your point, going down 10 nothing early on the road. And the fight back in, and how we went about fighting back in.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just reliance upon big plays. It was gritty, tough yards, tough, you know, protecting Howard to get the 6 yard pass play, not the 60 yard pass play, right, against a very good football team.
Yes.
But then on the flip side of it, I think you know, Ryan Day and this football team also overcome a big hurdle that they could have done against Oregon, but it's the record against top five opponents, and this one happened to be on the road, just like Oregon was. Big box checked by this crew, and I think in the eyes of the national media, because of this victory and what Penn State and who they were up to this point, and kind of who they are at this point every season.
Yeah.
How many times do we play them undefeated or one loss? You know what I
Yeah.
mean? With a top 10 team.
Yeah.
And again, and I understand on the flip side, I watched, you know, the post game press conference of both Ryan Day and James Franklin. You know, James Franklin's got to expect to get bottles and cans thrown at him because of the frustration level of what, you know, Penn State and Ohio State and what that's been since he's been the coach and since Ryan Day's been the coach, frankly. Again, you know that, you understand that. And I think, again, developing a relationship with Coach Day through the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer and being around the program a little bit more, you know, now that my son is, of course, you know, of high school level, call it like recruitable age, I've gotten down to Columbus more in the last 4 to 5 years than I have in a long time. And I don't do it all the time. I don't do it after every win. I don't do it after losses, of course. But this was the game where you pick up your phone as a former football or a former Buckeye football player and you text the head football coach, "Great win today." And the two words that I sent in the next message were, as you see these like little clips happening between, you know, his post game interview right after the game, or him and Chip Kelly hugging, or him and Will Howard hugging. It was toughness and fight
Yeah.
are the two words. I just put toughness and fight, exclamation point, exclamation point. And it was like, maybe I got back your damn thank you, damn right, or something like that from Coach Day.
Yeah.
And there was a toughness about this football team that was exuded that I think sometimes you're not always pushed to be all that tough because you're Ohio State, but it was what it took to win this football game against a very good football team on the road and the way the game had gone down and the fight. There was no some games you just feel like, ah, the vibe of this football team just doesn't, like, it doesn't come across like they're gonna keep punching,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
And this team took the punches early and just kept punching. And on the one other point that I think I'll make, and I made it in game, like while I was watching it, is I thought Chip Kelly probably called a on the road against the top five opponent a masterpiece type of football game, using Penn State's aggressiveness, you know, with flow and running some of those like waggles back, those little
Yeah.
hide routes back across the momentum, sneaking out Enos and sneaking out Junkins, and using you know, their flow or their swarm, whatever you want to call it, against them. I also thought some of those QB runs by Howard on the keeps, the zone read and the keeps late to get those first downs to not have to punt the ball back to Penn State. I thought again, we went what, DEFCON last week, I think, and the
Yeah.
levels I gave, you know, I think the offensive line and run game twos because I wasn't going to hit the panic button. But I thought this group of five, Coach Fry, you know, Coach Kelly and Coach Day, they eradicated a lot of those demons that, from a protection standpoint and the lack of run game, because there were themes, there
Crazy.
were themes, they were punching holes in that defensive line, defensive front, by Penn State, and Junkins was unabated getting 6 yards before he was getting touched.
Yeah.
And I think, even on the Will Howard touchdown, and I know it's been showcased since, but like everybody at the little get together I was at was talking about, was it a fumble, was it not? And I'm like, rewind that and show me Travion Henderson's block on
Yeah.
number one on the edge,
Yeah.
right? I don't care about whether it was or it wasn't, because I can't control that. But I go, I want to see that block. And
Yeah.
it's those little things, those little toughness things that started showing up. Or maybe in the past we attached and run our feet, and the guy pops off late, knocks him out of bounds at the two. Instead, it was a pancake block at the point of attack
Yeah.
that pops your quarterback free to the pylon. Now, what happens after that is what happened, right? But just toughness and fight in this football team. And I think what better time than on the road, against a kind of Big Ten rival. And of course, with what's coming still, because everything coming out of Oregon that was available to this football team from a goal standpoint, Big Ten championship game, win the Big Ten, get that first round bye in the college football playoff, of course, make the college football playoff, we're all still, and beat that team up north, are still very much in front of us. And not going to look ahead, very, very good, undefeated 9-0 Indiana football team that's now, in the eyes of both either the AP or the coaches, right around the top 10. And they take care of business the weekend, they'll be in the top 10. So,
Yep.
that could be a big noon kickoff college game day atmosphere in Columbus here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, Indiana's for real. They're number eight in the country. I mean, the Big Ten's got four of the top eight teams in the country, with Indiana number eight, maybe even at that point a little bit underrated, not just on the fact of their first ever 9-0 start, but also the fact the way they've
The
gone about their
fashion. The
business.
fashion they go up with, the way they go about their business,
They
yes.
look competent, baby. And that's one of the That rivals any great turnaround I've ever witnessed in college football history, in terms of not just are they getting the wins, but the way they're getting their wins. So yeah, in the week before the game, there's the showdown with the Hoosiers. It's going to be quite interesting. I want to get back to what you were talking about, though. Just to me, that stood out was just like you talked about, just the guttural almost effort that the Buckeyes put in all three phases of the ball, all three phases of the game, including the two field goals by Jaden Fielding. But those blocks on the edge by Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, not content, like you said, to screen somebody off, but to knock them on their butts. I
Yep.
mean,
And
where does
I'll
that
even
come?
say,
Where does that?
even just to
Wait a minute.
piggyback, it's like the defense
Yeah.
making stops,
Yeah.
putting them in
Oh, yeah.
third and
But
long.
I want to get to the offensive side first, though.
Sure.
That's an offense almost playing with a defensive zeal, if you follow my drift, of
Of course.
wanting to make a hit, not a block. Carson Hensman making his first start at left guard. I thought
In
he
2 years,
might have been
right?
the offensive lineman of the game,
Yeah.
just the way he played. Where was he in the alternatives or the options a couple of weeks ago, and why wasn't he in them? You know what I mean? I
Yeah.
mean, that's a question I have, but just like I said, the zeal with which they played the game on Saturday. Where does that come from for a football team, Matt?
So I think, again, being privy to, some of the interviews during the week ahead of especially these bigger games that Ohio State seems to play, a few times a year.
Yeah.
I think Will Howard's comments about, being a PA kid and, not going to Penn State, and so there was an edge about him, I think, for Ryan Day and for these seniors, that unfinished business aspect, the fact that they're going to leave no doubt, those things are, called like quotes that are like floating around this program, that haven't necessarily like been driven home by their performances on a couple
Yeah.
of Saturdays.
Yeah.
And I think it all kind of came to fruition in this game. Wasn't easy. And I think the defense limiting Penn State the way they did kind of left no doubt. I think the offense, they're the toughness, the O-line, the execution, wasn't super sexy with a bunch of big plays, which is not always is, against a very good defense, kind of left no doubt. And I think you just, you walk away from this, like you, again, not saying like you're it's a heavyweight fight that, you came out on top. And you look at the other team, and it's like, and you go, you look at, yeah, you have some, maybe some red marks on your face, but the other team's got the black eyes and
Yeah.
the big gouge, you know what I mean? And frankly, here, and I'll just throw this out there. I mean, gosh, we could probably talk about this for 10 minutes, but like the pick six is in question. I want to, and I mean, and maybe I'm sure either Will Howard or Coach Kelly or Coach Day will answer this maybe as the week goes on, or maybe did after the game. But it was either Penn State knew exactly what was coming, the way that the corner kind of jumped it, based on the release by the receivers, or the way they were aligned initially, kind of like stacked, that one was going to come back under, or they rolled to a coverage, which is a thing as well. And Will Howard had probably hadn't he probably completed that ball a dozen times in practice against another Penn State look,
And didn't think about it.
and didn't think about it, just knew it was going to be available, and just kind of,
Right.
I don't say threw it
That's what
blind,
exactly what it looked like. Yeah.
but just threw it with immense confidence that he expected them both to be high on the route and not
Yeah.
one high, one low.
Yeah.
So that we'll take that. But again, I don't say they get, well, now they get paid to make plays too, right? And
Yes.
then you figure, you take that off the board, wipe that off the board, for the sake of the conversation, and then also the Will Howard touchback. It could vary, and again, I know that fans and media folks and even the players, it could have been very well like 21-3, 28-3 on the road, 3 versus 4 matchup.
Yes.
And like it was an early knockout, not a
Yeah.
heavyweight 12-round battle the way that it ended up.
Standing eight count. Yeah.
But yeah,
What you
exactly.
call
But
it. You get knocked down.
that's what it takes these wins in a football season. And I'm sure, you probably more than me can go back to 2002 or 2014, and it's like these pinnacle wins that personify toughness and fight and overcoming adversity,
Yes.
that again, you can't, because he didn't really blow him out, your head's not overly large. You just kind of go, it's just like you checked a big massive box. And
Yes.
then in some cases, it's a little bit of an FU to all your haters,
Yes.
to like shut them up because of what you've done. And I'm sure there's some vindication, for this crew and for Ryan Day. But again, it's great that we have this coming week. And the challenge is to come out fast, step on their throat, put the game away, and then you can actually start really paging forward and really standing on the business you took care of in Happy Valley.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so well put. Everything you just said was so well put, because you almost appreciate more having to fight to the end of something as opposed to cruising. You know what I mean? I know you would rather cruise in the fourth quarter, but you appreciate it more when you were finally backed into the corner. They had the ball first down at whatever it was, the 1 yard line, the 3 yard line, and 3 plays later, they're having to throw into the end zone because of a great goal line stand and Caleb Downs being all over that dude, and incomplete. And you've had the goal line stand you had to have, number one. And then number two, your quarterback and your offense just said, "Hey, we're coming off the goal line, baby. It's the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
We're coming off the goal
And
line.
I think
Shove you 4 yards straight back. Go ahead."
to transition from the offense to the defense now. And I do think, and maybe I'll have to, dig in as the week goes on to hear, and I'm not going to be all that privy to, because I really just don't care that much, but to James Franklin and Drew Aller talking
Yeah.
about, the game flow for them, because I thought maybe Drew Aller was a little bit more hurt than he might have let on with him kind of getting the start. And they're showing him jogging pregame and all those other things, because like seeing the other quarterback in certain situations, some of the swinging gate or lonesome polecat formations where they shift back was just a little like, and the one thing, and my whole point about to shift to our defense is like, we didn't bat an eye.
Yeah.
We gave up some runs on some scrambles, a la the Rayola kid from Nebraska, but that whittled down when it came to crunch time, call it, say, in the second half. They had some early success with that. They probably go back to the well in the second half, and we're covering dudes down the field, covering long, and our the activity level of our linebackers and defensive line was, we're getting home and frustrating them. And then like I said, ironically, and it took another friend, or actually another football coach, goes, when they're down the goal line, they have that extra, like that heavy guy that comes motioning in to like wham or lead or
Yeah.
whatever. Like
Yeah, number 71.
Ohio State never even matched him wide.
No.
So had Penn State saw that on film and Aller just rises up and throws it out to the fat man who's eligible, it's touchdown. They just took for granted he was going to motion in some capacity. And of course, on
Wait
the
a minute, let
fourth
me
down, he would.
interrupt you. I have not gotten it clear yet on whether he is eligible to catch a pass because he's wearing number 71. You know,
He
it's not
probably had
like
to
in
enter the
NFL.
game. So
What?
he probably has to. And so this is an NFL thing, and I think it's carried down to college. Is like when
I
he.
don't think, no, I don't think a guy with an ineligible number can
They can
catch a
report
pass
eligible.
without it being tipped. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I know in the professionals,
Yeah, I know you
you
can.
have to report eligible. So when you come in from the, so when 74 runs in from, is it 74, I think it was?
71.
71. 71. 71 runs in from the sideline. He walks over to the white hat and says, I'm reporting as eligible. And basically what it does, in the recording, it's like 71 is now eligible. He's reporting as an eligible receiver. So he's going to line up somewhere in an eligible or eligible position wearing an ineligible number. So again, I could be wrong, but
Yeah,
like,
wait, let me interrupt you.
sure.
I don't think in college you can even run that. I don't think you're allowed to do that. You have to have an eligible number. The NFL, of course, Taylor Decker, the old report thing, the tackle eligible has been around for forever. But I'm going to look this up after we're done and leave people hanging for a week now until I clear it up. But I don't think he can ever be eligible to catch a pass without it first being touched by somebody else,
Got
meaning a
it. Okay,
tip
so
or
that
something.
makes sense why we didn't honor it. So
Because
then
you're,
we're.
because exactly, because he's what they call window dressing, as Jim Knowles said. It's like that hood ornament guy. Pay attention to this. He's going to lead a sweep off. He comes in motion, and he did on that play, came in motion left to right. And you're thinking, okay, they're going to run some kind of wham outside or something. Instead, they throw the ball. They tried to throw back to his area to the guy who was eligible, Tyler Warren. He got covered by Lathan Ransom. He looks back into the middle for the guy that Caleb Downs is covering. And just pretty much, it didn't work. Caleb Downs was all over the guy. And so the great thing is, like you just pointed out, Ohio State paid attention to what mattered on that play, not what didn't matter.
Exactly. And I think that, and it just, again, signature moment for a defense that had been kind of like in question about, the nastiness, given the elite number of players that we have along the line and at linebacker and of course in the secondary. So it's just a hang your hat on that moment type of thing for this defense. And I think as they continue to move on and win football games, you're going to go back to that stand. Because that's the other thing that from a game flow standpoint, like how does that game change? If Penn State gets points there at that juncture, pressure shifts right back to, Ohio State having to, again, get multiple first downs, kill the clock, and potentially, kick a game winner at that point.
There are all kinds of plays you can look at, but on the previous before the goal line stand, Denzel Burke forcing that number 44 out of bounds, that was a huge play. I mean, just like when Josh Freier forced the kid out of bounds against by Nebraska on that interception return, Ohio State ends up getting a goal line stand right there. Those are huge plays that you think of in a minute. Boy, well, they're going to score on the next play, and then they don't. It's crazy. Hey, let's go back to own and name a couple guys, and you tell me. I don't know if you got to pay much attention to Carson Hentz, but I'm only bringing him up because it was so vital that whoever played there. I even said in my On Letterman Row, I said in my our pregame predictions, I said, whoever starts and plays the game at left guard, if Ohio State wins this game, they'll be my MVP on the offense because that had to happen. They had to have somebody play competently. Carson Hinsman, who started all 12 regular season games at center last year, and I projected on radio show before the game, I thought he would be the guy because why not go with five guys who have started, on your offensive line, no matter where they started. You know what I mean? They've started, and that's exactly what Ryan Day referred to after the game. Go with experience, right? In the big game, in the big moment. I thought he played extremely well. But just how key was that in a nutshell, Matt?
Well, I think it was key because, and in some cases when it comes to, and again, I've never been an offensive lineman, but I know that having been around it, it's a lot of it from a college level because you have so many, not like an NFL roster, where you only have like eight guys for five spots, right? Here, you might have 12 or 14 that could potentially, either blow a red shirt or play, some with experience, some not. But like who's practicing best, in some cases, like if you have a guy, And I'm not saying that this is the case for Carson Hinsman, but it's like if he's going down and he's kicking the defense, giving the defense a great look on scout team, and he's just, of course he knows our offense, but he's spending most of his time, giving a look, and he's just nasty, he's physical, and you just go, God, like, why have we not turned over that stone and brought him over and see what he looks like at left guard, at right guard, whatever it might be. And then you kind of throw him in there, and that's what, truthfully, maybe, having that second open date, allowed us to kind of, and I think I allude to it sometimes about like tinkering with, with the lineups and with the flow and, the chess piece usage of the wide receivers as skilled as they are. It allows, Justin Fry to, like, again, like, what combination hits, because and in some cases it's, probably not ideal, but to have, Donovan Jackson back, have 5 or 6 games under his belt after, not playing those first couple of games, settling into guard, but also having the experience to go out to tackle when need be, based on him being a, like a, I'll call it like a vet, right? Hinsman and his starts. And I think for Hinsman, in a first start in a long time, to be stuck between Donovan and Seth McLaughlin, those two highly qualified veteran players who are also like pillars. In some cases, they protected him maybe early until he got his sea legs, and then just started, kind of picking up where he left off as a starter last year.
By the way, in NCAA, the NCAA rule book defines eligible receivers for college football in Rule 7, comma, Section 3, comma, Article 3. Any players on offense wearing numbers between 50 and 79 are always ineligible.
Interesting.
You
Oh, there
can
you
wear like
go.
a 90 and be a wide, tight end and stuff, but you can't wear anything. That's what I wanted to make sure people understood that. That's why
Sure.
on
We
that
paid no attention when
situation,
he was outside the box.
but on that situation, you basically, got an extra offensive lineman on the field, and yet you tried to use him as, like I said, window dressing, a decoy to take away from what you really had in mind, which is throwing the ball there. Because 3 straight times you ran into a brick wall. I want to ask you, just being a former stalwart defensive player, what is a goal line stand? What does it feel like when it's happening?
Well, I have to say, like, it's like football in a bedroom, and when I say that is because, the splits of the offensive line are usually foot to foot. The run, like, it's usually quarterback under center, not usually gun. Maybe in today's college ball, they're probably still operating out of gun.
So few do, yeah.
And then you figure you're in some type of five man or six man down front, and you're in, like, and the inside three, call say, like, the zero technique right over the center, and the 2-3 techniques who are in the B gaps, like, and we teach it at the high school level, and I'm sure in some cases it's absolutely taught down the goal. It's called like a root hog, where, like, you don't even attempt to hit the player like above their waist. You kind of just go like root hog their legs to give them no, so you, like, they lose their base, so they lose their ability to push. And you really want a pile. And then at some point, based on your study of what running back is in the game, and I'll just, like, for example, is it the Singleton kid? Is it Tyler Warren? Are they jumpers? Do they go over the top of the pile, or are they like diving, pushing through the pile? And so, like, Cody Simon knows if it's a specific, if he's a jumper, when that pile gets created, he goes high, I got to meet him at the apex, and then obviously run my feet and push him backwards. So, I mean, there's a lot to go into it. The biggest key down in the goal line, and I think it was, you didn't see a pass till fourth down, is you really want to stress. This is the way that I would do it as an offense coordinator, and what I need to be ready for as a defense is you want to stress the eye discipline of the edges. And that's why you see a lot of, like, back sneaking into the flat, or a tight end kind of like blocking 1-1000, 2-1000, and releasing, to the corner wide open, because you flash that heavy root hog run right at them. Everybody comes diving in, and there goes the tight end in the back of the end zone all by himself. I'll call it the Tebow pop pass. The Tebow pop pass is just predicated around a massive scrum. He's
Aggressiveness.
run quarterback power or quarterback dive a bazillion times and scored a touchdown, and then he stops and pops it to Aaron Hernandez or whomever the tight end happens to be. So, it's tough. And I think in some cases, if James Franklin and their offensive coordinator there in Penn State, I would imagine They thought they could play bully ball, you know, again, based on their study of Ohio State, their you know, the scheme that we run down on the goal line, and that they can just turn around and run it in for a yard. Oh, well, you can't. Okay, well, you know what? We're gonna try it again. And you didn't. And then it's like a little bit of like, well, they can't stop us three times. And then you're forced, and then at that point, you know it's likely from a defensive mindset not gonna be a fourth run. So Knowles might have just changed up. Everyone goes on high alert, their eye discipline, and they're looking at their work. And as you can see, like Penn State had no one open. Everyone was in extremely tight man coverage down on the goal line, and Aller had nowhere to go with the football but to force it to a flash of, you know, a flash of a Penn State player who was potentially available. But it was just, yeah, it all worked out very well. And it just, and again, an amazing stand. And again, it's a stand that this defense can hang its hat on. It's a stand that we as fans and commentators, what do you want to call us, will look back on and go, that goal line stand at Happy Valley on the road to tie the football game or whatever it might be, I think is what launched this team defensively to a whole nother trajectory.
That is pretty funny because I remember talking with Joey Bosa, brought this up last week, talking with Joey Bosa about the shove sack he had on Penn State's last play in the overtime game in 2014. And he stood there after the game. It was in the dark, and we're under the stands there, and you know, we're all interviewing, and he goes, "I think that's going to be the turning point, the turning point." I'm paraphrasing here, but the turning point for this team and this defense, because we made a play when we needed to make a play. We made a stand we needed to make a play. Of course, the offense also scored, you know, to give them the win earlier. I mean, in that overtime, to give and take. But yeah, there come moments that do tilt the roller coaster, and you've been climbing this hill trying to prove to everybody you're as good as everybody was saying in the preseason you should be, and boom, you get it done on the road. In one of the more hostile places to play in America, how
Yeah,
can you
well, yeah,
not?
Tim, and I think it's, you know, it goes back to toughness and fight. The two words that I used
Yeah.
is our ability to run the football almost at will on a very good, very aggressive Penn State
Yes.
defense, and then
Yes.
also stop them in this situation. It's the epitome of toughness and fight, which is something that was in question about this football team. So there is some validation of going, like I said, hey, haters, like, how about now? You know what I mean? Without like being vulgar, that these guys have from like a moxie, swagger, confidence standpoint.
Yeah.
And it's, but it's not because it was still such a fight. It's not the overconfidence that people might assume they're going to take on. It's a more validation confidence than an overconfidence.
Yeah. You got in a fist fight and you won the fist fight. You didn't do it with a
Correct.
haymaker. You did it
Correct.
with several combinations of punches, and you took some
Strategy and
punches.
not giving up and
Yeah.
taking them and giving them and just, you know, just keep punching.
And you have in your mind also, like you said, to build on. The reason it was still a close game was because of some self-inflicted wounds, including Will Howard's fumble, which they ruled by. I don't know what angle they looked at. I never saw a clear angle that could show you the ball went over the pylon, but it did go out of bounds. You know what I mean? That was
Sure.
a moment when you could have taken total control of that football game, as
Absolutely.
you delineated earlier. You didn't. You had to stand in there. This was a 12-round heavyweight championship fight. It was cool. Now, one last thing. Do you, when you're sitting there watching a game like that, Matt Wilhelm, former stalwart, former national championship, you might be wearing your ring every time you're watching a game like that.
I'm not. I don't even know where it is right
I
now.
don't, you know, I'm just messing with you, but I know you're eating popcorn or something. Do you stand up in your living room or whatever and go, yeah? I mean, what is your reaction when you see your alma mater not just win a game like that, but to make a play? You understand what I'm saying? That at
Of
the
course.
exact right moment.
Yes.
What is your reaction?
So, I don't get excited by, you know, I don't get excited on the big play for a first down. I get excited to your point, you know, at the plays that, as, and again, that Matt will, that when you look back, the four, five, or six plays that we make offensively and defensively, that ultimately you can say those won us the football games. And because I have, you know, the experience I have in football on the winning side and the losing side, like, I know at certain moments when a play is made, a first down is made, or a stop is made, or you force them to punt or a pick or a fumble, and getting the ball back to your offense, you can go chew off 5 minutes. You know, that might, a common person might go, oh, okay, well, yeah, they made him punt. I'm like, yeah, but our offense has been running the ball well. We're going to go 2 off 4 minutes. They're gonna literally going to be, have one timeout left, have to go the full length of the field. They're going to have to work the sideline. They're going to, it's like
Yeah.
my football brain goes, so those 4, 5, 6 plays are the ones where I get like, maybe not stand up crazy, but like, a little bit more verbal and yeah, emotional, because I know what they mean from a football standpoint. And also on the flip side, I have immense disappointment when I'm watching the Buckeyes and they don't make those
Yeah.
plays. And because I know it keeps the W kind of like in limbo. Had we made that play, the percentage probability of us winning goes to 90. And if we don't, it stays at 44 or 54, because that team, especially in a big game, can also make a series of plays to go win it.
Yes.
And so that's the emotional roller coaster that I'm on from a football standpoint.
Hey, one last thing I've never asked you. After a big game like that, though, as physical as that game was, how long do you hurt? I mean, how long do you physically? Cody Simon played his rear end off. I know
And
he knocked
he
10
played in
tackles.
multiple weeks in a row, he has.
Yes. How long do you physically hurt? I mean, I know that you guys are all tough and,
Sure.
as I once wrote a story when I remember quoting Brian Hartline when he was a story, you guys, football players, most of them are the guys that went off the just went running off the high board when they were at the kitty at the neighborhood pool, back when they were like 4 or 5 years old, because they didn't give a damn,
Right.
they just wanted the thrill of going off the high board. And I think all you guys share that. If you ever watch a football game from ground level, how could you not share that?
Yeah.
Unless you're, like a punter, no offense, or a
Right.
kicker. But how long do you just continually hurt as this season
So
goes
once this
on?
is, so I had a linebacker coach, or actually, yeah, linebacker coach and defensive coordinator in the pros. He just said, you work all off season to build your body up to get ready for football. And what he actually used to do, he said his mom used to do it for him until he got married, then he had his wife do it. And he goes, when he's all swelled up and jacked with a six pack and like all these big muscles, he goes, I take a picture day one of training camp to see my body before the football season. And then I also have them take a picture after 10, 12, 14 games of this like decrepit, whittled down, like no muscle, like no like big belly now because you're eating and you're not training as hard.
You're
And it's
trying to
like,
maintain weight, but not
yeah,
necessarily training that
exactly.
way.
So your body's, you're really never 100%. But in today's world, and this is where I think, the what's great about for Ohio State is, it's Ryan Day spent a lot of time with these guys, the starters, and he's consistently learning about the newer players that are contributing to, to our victories. So Coach Day and his weekly plan isn't always exactly the same. Like if the team's beat up, you'll trim a few periods off practice and it'll be 1 hour and 40 minutes instead of 2 hours and 10, right? Because you just have that vibe of, yeah, this team just, I can't push them today. Tomorrow I'll crank it back up and I'll get the best out of them. But they need the time off. They need the sleep. They need the recovery. And I also believe that today's day and age, the tools available,
Oh, yeah.
hot tub, cold tub, Normatec boots, float tanks, and all these, therapies that are out there. And in some cases, players don't have to leave the facility because they're all right there. So the medical staff, the training staff, the coaching staff, collaboratively, meeting in some cases without the players to go, hey, this is where we're at. They go over who's injured, who's not. Is it a nick? Is it, are you injured? Are you hurt? Those types of things that we've, heard through movies. You evaluate those collectively as a team. You orchestrate a plan. In some cases, and it's even happening at our levels, like when your first day back to work, which for us is today at the high school level, for Ohio State, it'll be tomorrow. You might even have like, some starters, practice 50, like only do 50% of the drills, or not, they'll do all the drills, but they do 50% of the reps in practice. But they're going to get those mental reps to get their body back for the next day, for Wednesday, right? And I know that in some cases, gosh, Joe Thomas, for the Cleveland Browns, towards the end of his career, because he just didn't need, and I know it's professional, not college, but he didn't need the reps in practice because he was Joe freaking Thomas, right? Like he wouldn't practice till Friday. So like he'd get like, Wednesday and Thursday, he'd be out there in his uniform, watching, making his calls, taking all those mental reps, coaching the guy who's taking the reps in front of him, his backup essentially. But he just needed to get his body back for Friday to go get some physical reps to be able to go be at his best on Sunday. And it's just what it was. And so that's something that changes by the team, but it's very collaborative between players, coaches, trainers, and doctors.
Yeah, I was going to say, remember Archie Griffin back in the 74 and 75, he rarely practiced during the week. I mean,
Yeah.
and dude, and
Well, that's,
I
I
know you're
mean,
a young
a
man,
running
but
back, it's crazy.
yeah, back there they ran the tailback 28, 35 times a game. That was crazy on parking lots with green fuzz on them called AstroTurf.
Yeah,
I
believe
mean,
me.
give me a
That was
break.
just phasing. I was just phasing out when I
Yeah.
was becoming a high school and early college player. Even the Woody,
Exactly.
remember the Woody's turf was,
Oh.
that level
Oh.
turf? Ugh.
Oh yeah, on that one field they played field hockey on too and stuff. It
Yeah.
was like, it was, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
They paid paradise and put up a football field. My last question, we get out of here. So summing up, what do you like about this football team, just in a nutshell, right now? That there are two major challenges on the road have now been faced. They're 1-1. They lost one by 1 point, and those are two of the toughest places to play in the world on the road. The atmospheres at Autzen Stadium in Oregon, and of course Beaver Stadium in Penn State. But they're 1-1 in that. Their biggest game is coming up, interestingly, and who knew it was going to be against Indiana, but it's going to be at home. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But talk about a schedule quirk that actually goes in their favor now. That's crazy when you think about it. What's going to be on the line that day if both teams take care of their knitting? But I guess what I'm saying, I'm stammering because where are you with this football team now? Are you about where you thought you would be when the season started, that this is a pretty damn good football team? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Or
of course. I think I might be slightly behind of where I thought they would be by this point. And maybe that's the fan coming out in me because of how talented they are, that I thought they would roll a little bit easier in some cases. But I'm not afraid of having the adversity come our way and us overcome that, with the way that the Nebraska game, the game flow for that was, and this type of win. And the one word that I'll say, and I know this goes back to, this is an Urban Meyer word, that I think this football team has developed coming out of this win, and even, taking the 1 point loss at Oregon, and also, winning the fashion that we did against Penn State in Happy Valley is, and there's an edge. There's an edge about this football team, and there's something to be said. And again, it's a life lesson too, is how far can you push yourself to that edge, of a specific goal without going crazy over the edge, or pushing yourself to that edge to get the best out of it, to make, to win that fight, and just not, fall backwards, or lose that edge. And so I think, this, the way that the season has kind of gone on, with, the early cupcakes, Michigan State and Iowa, the way that those went down, the Oregon game, the 1 point loss, Nebraska coming to town after they got shellacked, at IU, give us a run for our money at home, kind of has everybody stammering like, whoa, what about this football team? And then you go play an undefeated, Penn State football team who everybody believes, can give Oregon a run for their money.
This is the year.
And yeah, and we knock them off in the fashion that we do. The game could have been a blowout in some ways, had we taken care of some business. And so there's an edge. I think there's an edge for Coach Day, for this staff. I think for Coach Fry and that offensive line, that boost of confidence that this is the lineup. This is the lineup that we're going to roll with, and I think from a player standpoint, these are still, in some cases, teenagers and, young, early 20s who are extremely emotional. And so there's again, I think an edge and validation that has come about this football team because of what they accomplished last Saturday.
All right, we'll see if it hangs on, man. I mean, boy, this has been the wackiest football season nationally, much less locally, where just when you think you know what's going to happen in a game, UCLA beats what, Nebraska? I mean,
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm at seven ranked opponents lost, in the top 25. And so there is, and I know that it's not like survive and move on the way that, the BCS and or the, the top four college football playoff represented. It was like, a late loss was like suicide for your national championship hopes. But in some
Now it's
cases,
more like a wound.
and who knows, because it is also year one of this 12 team playoff, we don't know anything about the vibe or the characteristics or personality of the committee and what they're going to value and what they're not.
Correct.
Early loss, late loss, two loss, three loss,
Hey,
but blows people out, but blows out a high, a top team late and is playing their best. Do you keep them out?
And look how well this team has recruited over the last several years. They're better than their record say. You know what I mean? You never know what they're taking into account, right?
Well, also, even for gosh sakes, I mean, look at Florida State. If Dylan, Ga and I'm not trying to put some curse on him, but if Dylan Gabriel, gets hurt the same way the Florida State quarterback did last year, in any late game, or say in the Big Ten championship game, Oregon is still going to get in, but Oregon should rightfully be like a 5 or a 6, is probably going to be like a 10, 11, 12 because of their ability to compete for a national championship based on the loss of one player. So all those things, we know the personality of this committee, we don't know given these 12 teams and how they're going to value that.
But the bottom line is, like Ryan Day said, go get in the Big Ten championship game and win it, and you're in it. You know what I mean? And you're in it with a bye. And that is
Nobody,
still.
only guys who have followed and played in the National Football League or coached in the National Football League, which Chip Kelly and Ryan
Appreciate
Day
it.
both have done, understand what that after the dogfight of a 12th or 14 game season, what sitting at home and watching these other teams play each other, and you rest and watch and study and learn about what your next opponent's going to do, and they have to, because they're win or go home too. So there's no page in their playbook that's going to be left for next week because they need it to move on. And when we can sit back and watch that and not be in a situation to have to show everything and win at all costs to move on is such a value.
Ladies and gentlemen, is that going to happen? Is that going to happen for this Ohio State football team? We're going to find out. Matt Wilhelm and I, we're going to break it all down and then build it back up and then jump in the cold tub, right? With a cold one.
Yes,
Right,
sir.
man?
Yes,
Matt,
absolutely.
separate cold tubs, but a cold tub nonetheless.
Yeah, we'll
But
hold
ladies and
hands in
gentlemen,
between. Yeah.
Hey, until next week, for Matt Wilhelm, this is Tim May. We'll see you then.